I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome to the Krug Show on a Saturday. John Chapman in the house. We're going to do a mock draft. We're going to talk some Niners. Robert Saleh has returned, and some of the players are starting to react. We'll get into it right now. Join us. Let's go. Bright and early on a Saturday morning, 9 a.m. West Coast, noon Eastern. Happy January the 25th. Happy championship weekend. Larry Kruger, John Chapman. Hope everybody's having a great day. We're off and running. Feeling good. Football coming up on a Sunday. Wife's in Vegas partying with her friends, seeing the Shania Twain concert.
So why not?
There you go. So hopefully she's ripping up Vegas. She's like, should I bring a jacket? I'm like, yeah, I'd bring a jacket. It's 29 degrees there at night. I'd bring a jacket. So she's there, I'm here, taking care of the dog, the house, the family, the meals, and the mock draft. And John Chapman's in the house, and it's always great to see John. John, good to see you, man. How are you?
Man, I'm great. You know, you talked about the wife being on vacation. We just came down the mountain from Tahoe. Nice. So I'm feeling like rested, good to go. You got the Saleh news just hit last night. So, you know, all gas, no brake, baby. It's nice to be back. I feel like vibes are high, which after the offseason we had last year, I'm not a big vibes guy, but I'll take any positivity we can get right now.
No question. Let's start right there. Saleh's back, and man, it was a weird situation. I think the Niners really dodged a bullet here, and what I mean by that is just, you know, if Liam Cohen doesn't have that about-face 24-hour reversal, most likely the Jaguars are going to wait for Kellen Moore and Joe Brady. And one of those guys potentially could be in Super Bowl 59, which is not even going to be contested until like February the 10th or something like that. So you're not even going to really get a chance to hire your coordinator for another 2-3 weeks. If you're the 49ers, it's time to get on with the business at hand to start looking at players, start looking at the all-star game, start looking at who, you know, the off season and the draft ahead and the free agent market. It's time to put this thing back together again. Humpty Dumpty has fallen off the wall and needs to be put back together. And I thought the Niners dodged a huge bullet because they need to get their program going ASAP. And Cohn's reversal kind of led exactly them, you know, solid to their door. So I thought it was a great 24 hours.
Yeah, it couldn't have gone better. Yeah, the 49ers were basically Brandon Staley or Robert Saleh, and better to be lucky than good sometimes, you know. And I feel like they really lucked out with the whole Trent Baalke getting fired. And if you haven't read about the Cole situation, it is one for TV. Like, that is as dramatic as you can possibly be. Talking about kids in the hospital, not answering calls, ducking calls in a city that you tell your team you're not in, but you are in. Niners got lucky, and I love it. And so it's, again, I'll take any breaks we can get because it's been a minute, Larry. It's been a minute. And so to get these types of things happening now, it's just stacking a lot of positive energy. You've got the schedule. You've got people coming off injuries. You got it. It just seems good, and I'll take it, man. I'm very, very happy with where we are, and now you get to go after the players that you know you want. And given Brandon Staley wasn't going to do a complete about face with the 49ers scheme, but now you know exactly what you want and exactly what you need at those positions. And so the draft, free agency, all those things are going to start to fall in line.
Well, we are going to have a great time this morning. Super fired up to have John in the house. We're streaming on both channels. So if you're a John fan, give me a like and a subscribe. If you're a Krug Show fan, all you guys go over there and sign up on John's channel and help him build his numbers. John's been doing this a while and showed me the way in my earliest days on YouTube. And I really do appreciate him for it. And I'm glad that we've rekindled this. We're going to get into our mock draft, and we're going to do one on PFF. Coming up here, and I'm really fired up because I've done this exercise a bunch. I know John has as well. So we'll get into mock draft season. It is upon us. Yes. But you know, one of the things I noticed yesterday is that Saleh's back, and you know, now I couldn't believe this, but it said, I saw an article yesterday that said that since Saleh has left, the only guys that were still there that were there when he was there are Fred Warner and Nick Bosa on the defensive side. And maybe there's one or two others.
Kevin Givens, but he might not be coming back.
Kevin Givens. Yeah, Givens is a free agent. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a totally new defense, and Robert Saleh is going to quickly find out that, man, the Niners are badly in need of him, but they're also badly in need of help on that side of the ball. Now, interestingly enough, DJ Jones, you know, reacted positively, congratulating Saleh. Sauce Gardner did the same. Fred Warner did the same, and kind of leads us to our second topic, which is something that I've hit on a couple times already, but guys potentially who you could see coming to the Niners because of their affinity for Robert Saleh, his scheme. You know, it seems like every time there's the chessboard moves in the NFL, some players probably move along with it. Is there a player that you can think of? I know a lot of people immediately see the Jets, Saleh, DJ Reed, the free agency, and go, oh, DJ Reed. I think that's the low-hanging fruit that we all can kind of gravitate towards. He is coming off a year where he had 11 penalties, which was a career high. He's had 19 over the last 2 years. He's still a really good player. I love DJ Reed. John Lund and I interviewed him, his first interview ever, when the Niners drafted him from his draft party. And I remember him jumping on with us, John, and he was like, the first thing he said was like, you know, it's like, you know, I'm good or something. It was like something along the lines of the 49ers are smart. They picked me. It was like, it was exactly the kind of cockiness that you want to see in a boundary corner. And that's exactly what he's become, a very, very good one at that. Is Reed, you think, coming to the Niners with Saleh? And if it's not Reed, is there somebody that you would like to follow Saleh to San Francisco?
You know, I love DJ Reed, and Shanahan kind of lost him by a miscalculation of trying to stash him on IR. And, you know, he's getting savvy with his, you know, roster management. It cost him. And I love DJ Reed, but I think DJ Reed's going to get like $14 million a year. I think he's going to get paid. And wow. So I think that you made your choice already for one high paid corner when you extended D'Amador Lenore, and you've got Renardo Green, who showed so much promise as a rookie. So is paying that $14 million a year premium going to be worth it for your number? He would be number two for us, but that would bump Renardo Green out of the starting lineup, where he would just be the third guy that comes in nickel packages only. You kick in D'Amador Lenore. So I don't think that's the most cost savvy. Yeah, I love the player. I love the fit, obviously. I'm going to go with a different defender in the secondary. I think Ashton Davis, the safety, I think that he would probably be the better fit. You know, he played most of his snaps last year at free safety. The Niners don't have that true speed element currently. Now, obviously, what are you going to do with Huff and all those things? But if you want to save some money and get a better free agent that knows the system and could play a little bit more free safety, I think Ashton Davis is a cost-saving measure that you could take that brings the experience, brings the speed, knows the situation, knows the scheme. And I think he brings something that Jair Brown, Malik Mustafa, and even Huff, if you bring him back, don't necessarily provide. So I think Ashton Davis would be one of the ones at the top of my list. Might not be as sexy as a DJ Reed, but I think he's a perfect fit for us.
That's a good name. That's a good name. And this is why I love streaming with John, because, you know, anybody could say DJ Reed. You know, it's like the casual 49er fan would say DJ Reed. Nothing against the casual 49er fan, by the way. God bless you.
No.
But the casual fan would say DJ Reed. The hardcore fan would say Ashton Davis. And I'll say the same thing. We'll move over. I'll give you one. I think the casual fan will look at Jamie and Sherwood and say, get me Jamie and Sherwood. And I'm not saying it's wrong, right? I mean, guy had 18 tackles against Miami. He's an awesome converted safety, former Auburn Tiger, who's really, really good. But I think he's also going to get rewarded pretty handsomely. And I think the Jets are going to do everything in their power to keep him because he was probably their highest highest rated defender, according to PFF. But I'll throw another name out there that I think potentially could be coming with Saleh. I'm that idiot who watches Hard Knocks. Okay. So
not wrong with that, man.
I remember Robert Saleh loving Chaz Surratt. And you say, who's Chaz Surratt? Chaz Surratt was a North Carolina, once in a 20 years kind of a prospect at a UNC. He was a quarterback and big, strong, fast, right? He runs in the 4.5s, 235 pounds, didn't make it as a quarterback, switched to linebacker. Ran in the 4.5s coming out and had like 27 reps of 225. So he's enormously strong for a linebacker, and he's very, very fast. He never hardly played. I think he only had like 24 tackles on the year for the Jets because they're pretty stacked at linebacker. They got a pretty good group there, very good defense. So I think Chaz Surratt, you know, Niners are looking to rebuild their linebacking core. I think they're going to want to bring in, I think, across the board, like my assessment of the 49ers after watching the film, they need more speed. They have to come away with more speed. And a guy like Chaz Surratt, I think, would be, you know, I'm not sure if he'd be a starting linebacker, but I think he would be a good backup linebacker, and he brings a lot of speed to the table. I could see him coming. I could also see Solomon Thomas, to be honest, coming in some kind of reserve role. You mentioned Givens as a free agent. Maybe you let Givens move on and you replace him with Solly, something like that. I could see that as well.
Yeah, I really like Chaz Surratt. I do. And, you know, he had 270 plus special team snaps last year. Like, that's what you need. Special teams has been just dire. So again, not only bring it over Solid, but if we're going to bring over Brandt, the special teams coordinator, I think that provides even more for Chaz Surratt. I didn't even think about that before you brought him up, Larry, but that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it's funny because I value anybody that's ever played quarterback more. And so like when we're doing our draft profiles and we're doing research for this upcoming draft class, if I pour into their high school stuff, if they played quarterback at any point, I don't care what position it is, the IQ, the awareness, the understanding of just football in general, that's stock up. And so Chaz Surratt, awesome guy. I would love to have him. And like he could be one of those number six, you know, five or six linebackers that you could play, but special teams is where he's going to make his money. Yeah, we need those guys. We need those guys bad.
So you mentioned Brant Boyer. Do you think the 49ers absolutely wanted Brant Boyer, or do you think they absolutely wanted Robert Saleh? And Robert Saleh said, hey, by the way, if you really want to make me happy, you could hire my buddy Brant Boyer. Or do you think do you think they knew Brant Boyer and wanted him? Or do you think they're just like, you know what? We were 31st in special teams DVOA. How bad could it be? Let's just roll the dice. We want Saleh. If this makes Robert more eager to come here, so be it. What's your read?
This is going to sound funny. So give me a second. Give me a little leeway here. I'm okay. From the South. And so we do these huge family reunions where we get together. There's just like, you know, 5+ states represented. And you meet all these people who are like, oh, who are you? Oh, I'm so-and-so on this side and blah, blah, blah. I think the Shanahan loyalty program is a real thing. And Shanahan wants to work with coaches he trusts and that he knows that either him or his dad has worked for. Well, who has he interviewed, right? Chris Tabor, Chris Banjo, Jet Motkins. Hey, has it worked with any of those guys? So what's best than a direct relative? Once removed, baby. So the Shanahan loyalty program just bumps down to Robert Saleh. You've worked with this guy. Can he work with me? You know, Kyle's a little bit of a unique personality. So I think that that makes sense. So if Shanahan can't get somebody that he's worked with before and he trusts, next best thing, you just go to Robert Saleh. That's my cousin once removed. Bring over Brant Boyer. You get the Shanahan Saleh thumbs up. I think that's what makes sense there because he has to work with guys that he knows and that will be loyal to him. And I think with Robert Saleh saying, yeah, this guy will fit what we do, I think that's the next best thing.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, a couple topics before we hit the mock draft. And John and I are going to do a mock draft on PFF today. Bobby Slowick. This is the surprise story of the week for me. I thought Bobby Slowick was a hot name. I thought he was a coveted guy. They were comparing him. He was mini Shanahan and this and that. He was the hottest name going not that long ago. Suddenly, their offense looks a little disjointed. The quarterback looked a little uncomfortable. Tank Dell got hurt. And they just their offense didn't look great. We're talking about the Houston Texans now. They fired Bobby Slowick. He has been fired. One, how surprised are you by that? How big of a coaching star do you think Bobby Slowick is, if you wouldn't mind weighing in on that? And does it, do you see, I mean, they've given Clay Kubiak the OC job. Do you, is there a role in this thing for Bobby Slowick or no?
With the Niners. I think Slowick got the job because of the Shanahan scheme, and he was able to install it to a T, and that's what's awesome. And it kind of it's very reminiscent of whenever a rookie quarterback comes in, and it's just like, man, the league can't do anything. And then the tape gets there, and the league catches up to him. You know how to stop him, and then the quarterback has the sophomore slump. It was the same thing. The scheme can get you so far, but what makes a coach elite isn't a scheme. It's your adjustments that you can make to your personnel. And whenever the personnel wasn't great, when you lost Diggs, whenever you lost Tank, had Nico out for a little while, it just got stale. And he was never able to come up with that advanced, look, this is the checks we're going to make to stop them from stopping our checks. And he never got to that point. It shows you D'Amico's much more ruthless than Kyle Shanahan will ever be, whether that's a positive or negative. You put that wherever you want. I mean, Shanahan's fired three coaches in his entire tenure here, none of them of which coming off a playoff loss like that and a playoff run like that. So it was a little shocking. I would love for Slowick to come back. Bring the whole gang back. I think that would be awesome, but I think he's going to have some better chances. Might be able to get a play caller somewhere else or at least a – second tier OC job. I think it's going to go Shanahan Kubiak here. Maybe he lands somewhere with the McVay or, you know, with Liam Cohen or something as that de facto number two, but not a true play caller. I think that there's room for him other places, but I would love to bring him back. Bring them all back. We lost so much. Bring that experience back. I think that he could learn. I think he'll get another shot eventually as an OC because he had some good tape. He put up some good stuff and installed the system very, very well as a rookie offensive coordinator. Just couldn't make that advanced step year two.
Here's would be my thought on it. There is no coaching salary cap. There isn't. People all ask me all the time. I get this question. You probably get it too from Niner fans. Hey man, if Eddie D still ran this thing, how would he be doing it differently? And I get that question a lot. And I've talked to Eddie, right? And Eddie was totally clear through a number of those candlestick years after he gave up control of the team to his sister that without a new stadium, the 49ers were not going to be able to compete for free agents and thus Super Bowls. So he was always on board with the new stadium, Levi's, and all the revenue streams that go along with that. But if you said, what would Eddie do differently than Jed? Well, I mean, I think Jed spent the money pretty much almost every time Shanahan or Lynch has asked him to. So he's done a lot of the things that Eddie would do. He's also done some things where he spent money like, hey, you know what? We're going to stay at the Greenbrier. You know, 300 people are staying at the Greenbrier so we can have a little less travel. And they've done that. They've stayed at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs. They've stayed at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. Those are big money items. And Jed just cuts the check and is like, yeah, you want to do that? Let's do it. So I think Jed, in a lot of ways, is a good owner from the standpoint of I don't think he tells John who to draft. I don't think he's Jerry Jones, but I think he'll cut the check when asked to. But the one area where Eddie would be spending bigger money is all the areas that aren't capped, and like coaches. And he would have probably more coaches, and he'd be paying a higher coaching bill than probably other teams in the league because it isn't capped and you can get as many guys as you want. He'd probably spend the money to bring in Bobby Slowick. Isn't Bobby Slowick, John, related to Kevin Slowick, who was one of the guys who located and found Brock Purdy? I mean, just on that alone, wouldn't the Slowicks pretty much have the standing invite just because the family, you know, somebody in the family found your starting quarterback and essentially save the bacon of the GM and the head coach? John, you're muted, I think.
My apologies. But yeah, I think you're spot on. Shanahan loves his nepotism family type, whatever guys. That's what it is. Whether that's an insult or not, it's just true. And you remember when Shanahan tabbed Slowick? He was a defensive guy. And they're like, well, who's going to be the OC when McDaniels leaves? Like, what's going to happen? And he's like, Slowick will be one of those guys probably. And then, sure enough, he was an offensive coordinator 2 years after that. From being on the defensive side of the ball to being an offensive coordinator play caller 2 years removed, it's incredible. So, I get back to this whole idea of the Shanahan loyalty program. If you're one of his guys, he's going to fight for you. And going into what you said about the Yorks, they committed to making Robert Saleh one of the highest paid defensive coordinators in the league. So that's another one of those Eddie D, Jed York check marks that I think, you know, the Venn diagram, there's an overlap there. And for 49ers fans such as myself, we love that. First class, all things, baby. It's uncapped. Who gives a damn? It's not my money. It's not your money. It's Jed York's money. Spend that money. I buy enough beers at Levi's to help fund that. So I'm just saying, you're welcome, Robert Saleh. I have contributed to your salary. But yeah, let's bring him back. If he wants to come back. Now, most of the OC jobs have been filled. There's not a lot that are open. There's probably four or five. So is he going to be able to find his way into that conversation? If not, why not do what Brandon Staley did? Why not do what Lynch did with us, where you bring these guys in and you just let them have a year, kind of like what Robert Saleh did with the Packers as a consultant or whatever, pass game coordinator, give them some title and just have them in the building as an extra bounce off before, you know, he goes and gets the job that he actually wants, because he can't be the OC here. He's not going to jump over Kubiak. I don't think that he's going to.
Couple quick thoughts before we get into our mock, and we've got some great supers we're going to get to as well. KJ Wright will be coaching the, you know, he's coaching defense and quality control, but he's going to be coaching linebackers and DNs at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, which I'm always a big fan of the Niners doing that, because the years that they have done that, they've really kicked ass. They did it the year they got Debo, and they did it the year, if you want to go back to the Singletary regime, the year they got Patrick Willis and Joe Staley. And they coach
Willis
Patrick
birthday
Willis
today, by the way. Happy birthday, it is. Patrick.
Happy birthday, yeah, to the Hall of Famer, P. Willis. You know, they had, I think you have a major advantage when you have an up close look at the work habits and practice habits of these all stars. And the fact of the matter is, KJ Wright will be part of the contingent. It used to be entire staffs. Now it looks like they're going a guy here and a guy there. So good for KJ Wright, the former Seahawk, who's now with the Niners. And did the defensive quality control coach thing. He will coach linebackers and DNs in Mobile. And that's about, I believe, February 1st or the 30th or something like that. It's coming up. It's next week, I believe. Are you going to Mobile?
No, I'm not going to go. That's what I do, all the games in season, and I just take a break, man. This is Chapman recover time.
People have asked me, do you go to Mobile? And it's like, I tape all those practices. I watch the game, but I don't make the trip to Mobile. Couple of the things before we get to the mock. PFF says the Niners may pursue, and this is the time of the year where there's now, you know, a little bit of projections on, you know, free agent fits and so on and so forth. And everybody's doing some guesswork, but it's a couple of interesting names here. PFF says the Niners may pursue Tevin Jenkins, the Bears guard, former Oak State Cowboy, who was really struggled initially, but then it's come on. He's really a road grading. He's kind of a right tackle, right guard type guy. He's a great run blocker. And the other guy they say the Niners may go after is Dallas's defensive tackle. How do you pronounce his name? Osa Odigizua?
Odigizua.
Who's a hell of a pass rusher. He's a good player. I mean, he played 78% of Dallas's snaps. He is a good player, and where, like, Mazi Smith, you know, was kind of a bust. But Osa and Tevin Jenkins are the two names that PFF has thrown out to connected to the Niners. And I've seen a couple people throw out Chase Senior, threw out Drew Dahlman. I've thrown out guys like Milton Williams of the Eagles and Rondale Moore. Is there, you know, Tommy Tremble, I think, makes a lot of sense. The former Notre Dame tight end who's in Carolina would be a nice backup tight end. Before we get into the draft discussion, is there a free agent? We know the Niners are not going to be big players in free agency. They have $46 million under the cap currently. The cap's going to go to $275 million. But a lot of their money's earmarked for Brock. So they're not going to be big players, you would think, in free agency. But is there a free agent out there that you think's reasonable? That you mentioned DJ Reed's probably not reasonable. He's probably going to get $14 million. Outside of the guys we've already talked about, is there somebody out there that you have targeted in the free agent market that might be a good fit?
You know, probably one of my favorite things that the Niners do is how they approach free agency. Is they have this idea, look, we're going to fill our roster to where we don't have to draft any certain position as a boom or bust. Like, we have to get this position or we're screwed. So they just plug holes. Are they, you know, perfect fits and whatever else? No, absolutely not. You can't do that in modern free agency. But I think defensive tackle, even though I think you're returning three guys that you can quote unquote count on, Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, and you've got the young buck, Evan Anderson, who I'm just a huge fan of. You want to add Kalia Davis to that, that's okay. But I think defensive tackle is your biggest need, that and center. I would like Drew Dahlman, might be too expensive. But you brought up Milton Williams. That dude just screams exactly what the 49ers need. That's not going to break the bank. You're talking a $4 to $7 million a year range type guy. That's a role player guy that could be that Kevin Givens if you let him go.
Yeah.
Where you can rely on him. He could be a disruptor. He's good against the run. He's got experience. He's got versatility. I think those types guys, again, not sexy. It's not going to be the all breaking news and talking about on NFL Network. But today's NFL has turned into, what can you be when your guys are out? What is your B squad, your Bravo group? What's that look like? Your defensive line backups. If you could still play adequate football with that, Admit, if I was Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan asked me in my interview, how do we make our defense, you know, awesome again? It's exactly that. Dude, you got to beef up the D-line. You didn't draft one defensive lineman last year. You got to get a better depth piece at the defensive tackle, probably two. You need better ends, better defensive tackles, starts up front. That's how you built the juggernaut that was the 49ers defense. You got away from it. Let's get back to what it was that made us so awesome for so long.
I can see the hats. I can see the T-shirts. Ma, make America awesome again. Ma.
I like the awesome. I like that.
let's hit a couple. Oh, first of all, before I ask you, before we get to the supers, the Niners announced their list of unrestricted free agents yesterday. There are 24 of them. Who's the priority? Is there one? I mean, I have six guys on this 24 list that I think are coming back. I'll give you the quick list. Pat O'Donnell, Brandon Allen, Aaron Banks, Ben Bartsch, Chris Conley, Josh Dobbs, Eric Saubert, Jalen Moore, Elijah Mitchell, Charlie Heck, John Feliciano, Patrick Taylor. Those are all the offense and special teams guys. The defense, Dre Greenlaw, Kevin Givens, Tayshaun Gibson, Flanagan Fowles, Khalil Davis, not Kalia, but Khalil. Everybody's favorite, Devondre Campbell, Rock Ya-Sin, Isaac Yiadom, Mooney Ward, Nick McCloud, Javon Hargrave, Talanoa Hufanga. I'm going to show this entire audience how dialed in I am on the Niners right now, how absolutely in lockstep I am with their thinking. I'm going to make a prediction right now. Devondre Campbell will not be back with the 49ers.
That is bold, my friend.
Sam, I'm going to throw it out there. I'm gonna throw it out there. You want to grab it? Devondre Campbell will not be back
heard
with the 49ers
first.
Next year. I've said it. I've put it down. That's it. I'm put it in stone. This man is not coming back. I get a feeling that they've tired of him, and I just get a feeling that he's not going to fit.
I don't think you will either, man. They should have made this
decision
a long time
ago. We're in lockstep. Campbell, bye-bye.
Here you go.
I've got six guys coming back. Give me, this is my six. Bartsch, Heck, Jalen Moore, Dre Greenlaw, Nick McCloud, and I'm choosing Rock Ya-Sin over Isaac Yiadom. So I have Bartsch, Heck, Jalen Moore, Greenlaw, McCloud, Rock Ya-Sin, maybe Brandon Allen, because I found out this week that Brandon Allen and Brock Purdy have the same agent. So I could see Brandon Allen coming back as the backup to Brock. Just it seems like it's a hand in glove fit there. So maybe six or seven. Those are my six or seven. Is there who would you say is your priority? And is there somebody that I either have coming back that you're like, no, or is there somebody I don't have coming back that you're like, dude, this guy's got to be back?
I think there's four that I'm just like, man, bring these guys back. Greenlaw, Huff. I like Jalen Moore as the backup. I feel like he proved he could be that kind of backup, you know, emergency case scenario left tackle. He was pretty good. And then Ben Bartsch. I think Ben Bartsch could start at left guard for this team, and I would be very, very happy with that. I'm a little bit higher on Isaac Yiadom than almost everybody else. Not as a corner. I thought he was the second best or maybe even the best special teams player we had all year. I don't like him too much as a corner, but as a, you know, cornerback four or five, I think that's fine. But Nick McCloud, they were so high. I don't know if that's just a Sorensen guy, but they were so high on Nick McCloud. He struggled a little bit on special teams, but I thought he filled in pretty well at that nickel role. He may have provided some value there long-term, so we'll see what that looks like. Jalen Moore is probably one of the names that, again, not sexy, but I think he's going to be a priority that they want to bring back just because he showed, man. He can play at that left tackle spot. Is he great? Is he a top 10 guy? No, but you're saving money elsewhere and you're getting quality depth. I think Jalen Moore could probably start for five or six teams at left tackle. The tackle position, offensive tackle position, is by far the least talented in the NFL, the top to bottom. There are a lot of bad offensive linemen at the left tackle spot. And I thought Jalen Moore, I think he could play for five to six teams for sure.
One of the projections I saw had Greenlaw in the one-year deal for $6 million range. I mean, if that
right
is...
Now.
Yeah, I mean, right, if that's his market, get him signed. All right. Brock Purdy. One of the interesting things that came out this week was I was looking at the bio of Brock's agent, Kyle Strongin, and I realized that he worked in the Niners organization as a scouting assistant. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that to me is interesting. He knows Parag. He knows Jed. He knows, you know, several people. Now, it was during the Nolan and Singletary regime. It wasn't during Lynch and Shanahan's era. But he knows people with the Niners, and I don't know if that changes anything, but where are you as far as the Brock contract? SpotTrack predicts Brock Purdy's contract will be 4 years, $194 million with $100 million guaranteed. That's $48.5 million AAV. He did set the franchise record last year with 4,280 yards. He regressed this year, 3,864 yards. They went 6-11, as you know. What do you think? I mean, Greg Papa said it on the radio the other day that the Niners would love to get Purdy in that high 40 range, and 48.5 AAV, I'm sure, is a dream for the Niners. But, you know, I get the sense from the people that I've talked to that, you know, Brock's going to get north of $55 million and maybe even north of $60 million. And I think people, you know, are kind of hoping for this $45 million hometown discount thing. I think that's just crazy pie in the sky talk. You know, the Brock, you know, Brock has accomplished more than Tua Tagovailoa. He's accomplished more in some ways than Jalen Hurts. You know, he's a better player than those guys, and those guys are making north of $50 million. So I think that's where Brock's going to be. I don't know if he'll be north of 60, but I think it's definitely for sure north of 50. Where are you with the Brock contract as far as where will you go, where won't you go, and what do you see as the timeline? Because I saw one thing I did agree with. Somebody wrote this week, that a good, just an okay deal for the Niners in March or April is a way, way better situation than a screaming home run of a deal that's signed in August or September.
You got to get them out there. I'm not the biggest on the APY, the amount per average per year, but I'm a betting man, just as you are, Larry. I'm betting it's going to have a 6 in the start of it, not a 5 or a 4. It's going to be a 6, whether you like it or not. Now, the way that you structure the deal, which isn't going to be in a cool graphic, and it's not going to blow up on all the breaking news and whatever else, that's not what they're going to talk about on all those, you know, 3-letter, 4-letter networks. How it's restructured, the total guarantees, where that's built in, that's what is important. But if you're just talking APY, it's going to start with the 6. I can tell you that right now. I'd be willing to bet anybody out there that it's going to. And I know people can debate the, is he worth it or is he not worth it? You don't let go quarterbacks that have proven to win in the playoffs. And that is the number one reason why Brock Purdy will get paid. He has more playoff wins than every Dallas quarterback in 4 decades. Going into 4 decades.
Wow. Anyway. I love the way that sounds, by the way. We all hate the Cowboys. How about them, Brian Schottenheimers?
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I do think Brock's going to get paid a lot. And I know people, there's a lot of people that are very concerned about that. But I understand because it is a cap sport, and every dollar that you pay him is a dollar you can't pay somebody else. So I do understand the concern. At the same time, this guy's earned it. I don't know that you can deny him what's rightfully his. I mean, is he a perfect quarterback? No. But this idea that you can't build a championship caliber roster if you pay your quarterback $50 million, aren't the Eagles kind of proof that that's a fallacy? I mean, they have a stacked roster, and they are paying Jalen Hurts $55 million. So it can be done. Now, it's going to put impetus on John Lynch and the Niner brass and front office and scouts to hit the draft. And they've missed on the draft on day one and sometimes day two. That trend's got to end, or the Niners simply just won't be a Super Bowl contender. So anyway, there you go. We appreciate getting into that conversation. But now let's get into our mock draft.
It's win or go home for the NFL playoffs. and all roads lead to New Orleans. But here's the thing. Your chance to get in on every high-stakes moment along the way starts with MyBookie. MyBookie is the ultimate destination for bettors who want more. Whether you're backing the underdogs, riding with the favorites, every drive, every touchdown, every moment is an opportunity to win big. And you can kick off 2025 right. They have risk-free Thursdays. That's where you place a bet. And if it doesn't hit, MyBookie has your back. Dive into the Bet Boost tab to supercharge your picks and build that bankroll before the Super Bowl. And even when the games are over, the action doesn't stop with MyBookie's online casino. Blackjack, Baccarat, Roulette, Slots, it's all there, whether you're celebrating a big win or you're gearing up for the next round. And if you haven't joined yet, use promo code 49ERS49ERS on your first deposit. MyBookie will hook you up with an instant bonus because you deserve to start strong. Season isn't just about watching history unfold. It's about being part of it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, with MyBookie.
All right, let's do, first of all, before we hit the mock draft, Thomas has been very generous here. He says, keep doing shows together, excellent duo, and he drops $9.99 on one of us, and now $9.99 on the other one of us. So good, way man. To go, Thomas. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, man. Sharing the love. Appreciate you, bro. Bro Montanus, his thoughts on Vernon Broughton of at Texas, if Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant aren't available.
He's a fun player, disruptive, and he's one of the many guys of Texas that have played over several years, but they rotate so much. They're too deep on that defensive line. Broughton, my favorite thing about him is he's the clutch player. When it was fourth down, big moment, that's when he shows up. He's at his best. He has the clutch gene at that defensive tackle spot, awareness, IQ, and when it matters, he's at his best. I'm a big fan of Broughton. But there's like six guys on that Texas defensive line that are going to get drafted. Them and Ohio State. I think Ohio State has the most, but I think Texas has 15 draftable players this year. There are a lot of guys over there, man.
Oh, I love David Benda, the linebacker. Oh, I love Jadai Barron as well, as the corner, the Thorpe Award winner.
Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft, I don't know if you saw it this morning. Jadai Barron was the first corner off the board in the top 15. That's where he's going to go.
You know, as you know, there'll be a lot of fluctuations in draft position. It's funny, we had Matt Miller from ESPN on KMBR earlier this week, and he has Abdul Carter going number one overall. So, you know, it's like, and other people, some of the mocks I've seen and some of the simulators have Abdul Carter there for the Niners at 11. So there's no way Abdul Carter's going to be there at 11, but is he going to go number one? I mean, there's a disparity here, and we'll just have to see as this thing gets closer. Orlando Macias says, with Salah coming back, we will have an influence. Will he have an influence on, I think he's saying, who will he have an influence on, who will be drafted?
You got to take into account what he says. Does he build the board out? But no, Robert Saleh said you got to put a bigger emphasis on the defensive line. There's no doubt about that. Is there now a greater chance, even if it's just 1% or 2%, that the first pick's going to be a defensive lineman? I think so. I think so. But does he say, look, I want this guy? You got to listen to your DC, especially one as experienced as him. But I don't think it's going to change their draft philosophy too much. It's still Kyle is the GM, the scout, the coach, the play caller, the DC, and then it's Robert Saleh. It's Shanahan first. He's going to go with who he wants. But I do think maybe 1 or 2 percentage points jumps up on defensive linemen in the first round.
I think, you know, what's the impact of a established guy like Saleh is I think Kyle Shanahan can just focus on what he does and not focus on defense and not be so worried about every call on the defensive headsets. Andre Hanna in the house. He says, hey, Krugs, with Saleh coming back, do you think this will entice some of the Niners' key unrestricted free agents like Greenlaw and Huff to re-sign? Money talks. So it's free agency. Money's the biggest factor by far. But absolutely, Robert Saleh is going to be very popular with a number of those guys. And I think Saleh's presence helps the 49ers in free agency. Money ultimately is the factor, though. Slick 68 says definitely over on the refs cheating for Mahomes and the cameraman showing Taylor Swift before every commercial. Yeah, I mean, Taylor Swift invites Caitlin Clark to the booth and the world loses their mind. You know, it's like, I could do a little, like, do with a little bit less of that. Lorenzo Cardenas says, how do we keep Dre? The Bills versus the Commanders in the bowl. Okay, we're going to get to that before we hit the mock as well. I'm going Commanders and Chiefs tomorrow. How do we keep Dre? Figure it out. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, Lorenzo, but I'm with you in that I asked Demo Lenore like 6-7 weeks ago now. Just a question about Dre Greenlaw, not about his contract, not about is he coming back. I'm like, hey, Demo, what do you think of Dre? And as soon as I said Dre, his eyes light up. And the very first thing he said is, man, we got to sign that guy, man. We got to sign that guy. And that wasn't even the conversation. It wasn't even the question. But that's he just was off the top of his dome. We got to sign that guy. And to me, that was very revealing. Demo's really smart young guy. He's one of the leaders in the room. You know, game knows game. And these guys, you want to know about players, talk to players. And, you know, there's no guy in that room who plays defense that doesn't understand the value of Dre Greenlaw. So, you know, do what you got to do. I mean, obviously it's a cap sport, but he is more than just an inside backer. He is he's a culture player, and he's a tone-setting player. And, you know, it's awesome when you have those guys, and when you don't have them, you're sitting there going, who is going to set the tone for us? And it's an incredibly valuable piece to the puzzle is having guys who set the tone. And so, yeah, got to have him back. Tommy Huxley says, John and Larry better than biscuits and gravy.
I love biscuits and gravy. Ooh, so I that's a compliment. Biscuits
and gravy. Good sausage in there. Get some Italian sausage always in the biscuits and gravy. It's a staple of the South, man. I love some biscuits and gravy. Jason Lutz says, bring them all back. Bulky, too.
You know, I don't feel comfortable coming back. I don't like John Chapman. I'm not a fan of Lowry. I don't like content creation. All right, I like ACL blowouts. I like torn ligaments. I like injured players. I still think Marcus Lattimore's got a shot. I'm a hell of a scout.
Oh, there you go.
I want him out. I'm tired of seeing that guy's name. I want people right that earned and deserve those jobs. And that's why I make fun of, you know, Brian Schottenheimer and the Cowboys or whatever else. Those guys don't earn those jobs. Trent Baalke hasn't earned his job. Give it to somebody that's earned it.
Give it no to somebody question that's earned it. But he's like a survivor, man. I mean, what a week for Trent Baalke.
If I'm the problem, Shad, just move me aside.
Hey, yeah, we're going to move you aside.
No problem.
All right, great. All right, it is time for our mock draft. It has arrived. Cool. We are here. It is. We are ready. All right, here we go. Let's share the screen. We're going to go with the Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator. There you go. We got the Niners right there. We got 7 rounds. We got the settings. John, you're going to be given the first round. I'll go in round 2. We'll go back and forth. It is time for us to enter the draft room. All right. This is the first time this year I've gone with the Pro Football Focus mock draft. We're not going to go trades because we're going to try to keep this kind of on the rails somewhat as far as what the Niners actually have, because I want to get an assessment of you know, what their current draft capital could potentially net them. We can work on trades and future mock drafts, but and I'm like, it's just, you know, in other mock drafts I've done, I'm willing to trade down from 11. And I'm willing to trade down from 43, and I'm willing to trade down from 75. I'm willing to trade down. I'm looking for, and I'm not worried about trading day 3 picks in 2026. I would like to accumulate more picks in 2025. So right now I'm seeing, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It says 10. I thought they had 11, but either way.
They lost that fifth rounder with the accounting error. Isaiah Oliver, he cost us.
Okay, so they've lost that pick. So I would like to see them, like, if you said how many picks would I like to see them wind up with, you know, you got to remember this. There's a failure rate in the draft, so you're not going to hit on every pick. So, like, people are like, yeah, I want 10 players out of this draft, and so I only want 10 picks. No, no. If you want 10 players out of the draft, you probably want 15 picks. If you want to guarantee that you get 10 players out of the draft, because there's a failure rate. It's also why I don't like trading established players for one pick, because the established player we know is going to make it. He's already made it. The picks have a failure rate. So if you're going to trade a good player, that's fine. I need two picks coming back, even if the second pick is not necessarily a high pick. You know what I'm saying? I need two for one in all my trades involving players. But we're not going to do trades. We're just going to go just pick straight away here. And John's going to go first. Let's start the draft. Here we go.
Let's do it. And I'll say this for those of you watching or listening or however, like, not necessarily that they're going to pick these players, but these are the conversations. These are the names around these areas that you need to start to become familiar with. And so if we say some names that you don't know, which Larry's better at than almost anybody in the business, like, just file that away and start to become aware of these players that are available and the talent that is around these spots. That's kind of the goal there.
No question. And there's a lot of good players. Now, it's funny. I was doing a thing the other day with Dieter Kurtenbach. He made the bold prediction. I go, he goes, I'm ready to make a bold prediction. I'm like, go ahead, Dieter. What's your bold prediction? He's like, Ashton Giante will not be drafted in the first round. And I was like, wow, that is a bold prediction because, so, you know, that kid had like 12 yards of carry for Boise. But then Penn State's defense kind of shut him down. It is an unbelievably loaded running back draft. I think it's one of the greatest running back drafts I can ever remember. There's great backs, I think, all throughout this draft, even after the draft. So that could push Giante down the board. But here we go. Let's take a look at how this draft went in front. Abdul Carter went, Cam Ward went one. Travis Hunter went 2, Abdul Carter 3, Will Johnson, who really didn't play this year, went 4, and that tells you how great he must be. Mason Graham, the big defensive tackle, went 5, which I like this already more than some of the other mock drafts, because most of the mock draft simulators have Mason Graham available at 11, and I would say there's no chance he's available at 11, so I like the fact this one has him going early. Teteroa McMillan is Jacob Cowing's teammate. From Arizona, he's a stud. He's going 6 to the Raiders. Shador, they say, goes 7 to the Jets. So the Raiders pass on Shador in this. Malachi Starks, who I think is a Pro Bowl free safety, goes 8 in front of the Niners. Luther Burden goes 9. Mike Green led the nation, I believe, this year with 17.5 sacks for Marshall. But he's an edge rusher who goes in the 250 range. He went 10. I mean, that to me seems really high for Mike Green. But here we are. The 49ers are on the clock at 11. Here's the board. Ashton Giante, Will Campbell from LSU, who winked at the cameras the other day before he squatted 600 pounds. James Pierce from Tennessee, blue chipper, 5-star recruit, unbelievable talent, but very lean. Josh Simmons had an injury this year, tackle, maybe the best Buckeye. Tyler Warren, blue chip tight end. Emeka Egbuka, really, really solid wide receiver. Kelvin Banks. Mel Kiper says the Niners will take Banks at 11. The big tackle from Texas. Benjamin Morrison. You didn't even see Benjamin Morrison at the end of the year for Notre Dame, but he's a great corner. Really well coached. And then you get down into 18, 19, 20. Mikel Williams. Kenneth Grant. Shamar Stewart from A&M. I'm a big A&M fan. Armon Membo. Jack Sawyer. So where do you want to go, John? You've got the first pick here, and I can move. I can check the board for anybody you want. We mentioned KJ Wright. He's coaching Donovan Isaraku from Boston College, the edge rusher, this week at the or next week at the Senior Bowl. Give me who stands out to you. Is there a player that you want to go with to start this thing off?
Probably the three that stand out to me are the two tackles, Will Campbell of LSU, probably one of the safest picks in this draft. I think that he is just clean evaluation. Kelvin Banks Jr., the offensive tackle from Texas, I think he's my number one tackle in this class with the highest ceiling. Now how he's going to measure at the combine, I think he has a lot to gain or lose. And I'm a big Mikel Williams fan, the edge out of Georgia. Now, I think what was interesting is you saw Dane Brugler, you saw Mel Kiper, and you saw Daniel Jeremiah put Mikel Williams in the top 12 picks of their drafts, all their mock drafts. And I know that the public
is a freaky athlete. He's maybe in a defense of freaky athletes, he's probably the freakiest athlete.
he's exactly how you draw an edge rusher. Like, if you put him next to Myles Garrett, now, obviously, I'm not saying he's Myles Garrett, but if you just look at him, they're built the exact same way. So your Madden create a player edge rusher, he is exactly what you want. Now, he played hurt most of the year, but he played through it, still productive. But, you know, does that push him up into this level? Are you drafted for ceiling? You drafted for need? You go with best player available at the most important position available. So for me, the three are the two offensive tackles, and then Mikael Williams would be very, very high on my list. Who's somebody else that I haven't mentioned, Larry, that you're like, ah, yeah, I would be very, very happy if this was the type of player? I know Walter Nolan. I know you're really, really big on him.
Love Walter Nolan. I mean, Ole Miss is an incredible watch every Saturday. Walter Nolan led the SEC in tackles for loss. He was a five-star recruit. I'm an A&M fan, so he started at A&M, and he's a big-time player. I mean, people were doing cartwheels in College Station when they landed Walter Nolan, and then he transferred in the portal to Ole Miss, and he did not disappoint this year playing on that line with Pegues and Umamalian. Nolan is good against the run. He's good against the pass. There are bigger guys. I mean, Kenneth Grant's bigger, but this guy is functionally strong, great speed, really has great vision. He's hard to block, man. Walter Nolan, when he gets it really rolling, he's an all-day mother. So he's a hell of a player. I would be very happy with Walter Nolan, even as high as 11. I know that seems really high for people because he's mocked in the teens to in the 40s in that kind of window. But I don't care about that. I mean, this guy's one of the best defensive linemen in the best defensive conference in America.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, I mean, my three that I would go with would be one of those two tackles or the edge rusher. Now, the things that I like about this draft are, I think that you can get a decent offensive tackle in the second round. I know you can get a good edge rusher in the second and third round. So if we're going off of scarcity, I'm like, man,
the tackle.
Let's get one of the offensive tackles. They could play guard. You could kick them out. Now, I think Will Campbell would be the safest left guard, but I'm going for that high upside. When are the Niners going to be picking 11 again? So my
hopefully
personal
never.
Take, and so yeah. I'm going to narrow it down to one of those two tackles, but I want you to make the final decision because I'm a Longhorn and I don't want to ruin your mock draft early. I personally would go Kelvin Banks, but I am not upset. And I know a lot of people are very, very, very high.
Let's go Banks.
All right.
Let's go Banks because I think Banks is kind of a blue chipper. And let's see what we wind up with. I like that. I like that pick. He's a plug and play starter that can step in right away at tackle for McKivitz or guard. If you wanted to start him at guard. Yeah, I like starting the draft with Banks. That's a good one. All right. So now we've sped into round two. Let's take a look at who's on the board here. Wyatt Milam, Jihad Campbell, Xavier Watts is interesting. He's a great player. I just don't know if he's a great athlete. And I don't know if I want to take a player with some athletic limitations here. Otherwise, I really love Xavier Watts. He's a productive interceptor.
Yeah. I think he has the most to gain from the 40-yard dash. Like, 40 is not that important. But for DBs, if he could put a 4-4 on tape, that dude's going to be going in the top 40 picks, guaranteed. Yep. If he doesn't, he'll fall.
Omar Norman Lott went to Grant High School up in Sacramento, and he's strong as an ox, and he is a really impressive player. I looked at his film two nights ago, and he's somebody to watch. So he'd definitely be on my short list. Now what do we do when we get to a guy that we don't think's going to be there? Like, how do you? I mean, to me, I'm torn here, right? Jaylon Walker is not going to be here.
No. Not
There's
with
no way.
Today's NFL and we're in the post Micah Parsons world. So now there is a value on Jaylon Walker, Jihad Ward, these hybrid off ball linebackers who can blitz the edge and kind of do it all. Like that, the blueprint has been painted that these quote unquote tweeners now have excellent value. And so they could be classified as true edge rushers now, which vaults them into that next premium position. They're not true off the ball linebacker. I think both of them had 7 sacks this past year. Like, they could do it all. Now, how does he measure all those things? Jaylon Walker's not going to be there at pick 43. And so, like, I stay away from that one personally. But, yeah, if you could get him, man, yeah, you just use him as an edge rusher slash linebacker. He could do it all.
Yeah, Jalen Walker would be the pick. I mean, you know, if the board fell this way, there's no doubt in my mind I'm going with Jalen Walker. But I don't think the board could fall this way. I don't think there's any chance he could wind up here. I think he is going in the top 15, so I can't go with him. The guy that I'm going with is Kyle Kennard, the edge rusher from South Carolina. I'm going to share the screen real well. I guess I can't share the screen, and we're already sharing the screen. Otherwise, I would share the screen. Because I've got a highlight reel of this guy. He's the SEC Defensive Player of the Year.
So good.
6'5", 260, has the ability. Now, he's played in a two-point stance, in a 3-4 as an outside linebacker. So there is a little transition. But this guy is unbelievable, man. I mean, you're talking about a big-time player. This guy can hunt quarterbacks. He's got length. He's very strong, very passionate, killer dip and rip move, super productive player. Started at Georgia Tech, transferred to South Carolina. Niners have had a lot of success with South Carolina players, and I really love this player. I watched this guy yesterday. I was like, wow, this guy, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, led the SEC in sacks this year. Not mocked a lot to the Niners, but I'm going Kyle Kennard in round two. I mean, this guy, he's coming off the edge flying, absolutely flying. So you're on the board now, and I'm looking at the board right now, and the board is very impressive. So now that we're at pick 75, and our picks are Kelvin Banks so far. We've gone offensive tackle, and we've gone defensive end, edge rusher in Kyle Kennard. And now you're on the board, and let's take a look at, once again, let's see, full draft.
Yeah,
there we
go. I'll say this, you know, Tyler Booker's guard.
Road grading monster.
Daniel Jeremiah had him going in the top 15 picks. Like,
I love him. I don't love too many guards, but this guy would solve the Niners' low red zone rush problem.
Yeah,
I really believe that.
You plug and play left guard, and now you've got both of your guards set for a decade. Dominic Pooney, Tyler Booker, you put them in there. Run game's improved, pass game's improved. Safe, 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 safe. Absolutely love that. Now, if we're looking at need, we don't have a defensive tackle yet, Larry. And I think, again, defensive tackle is probably the biggest need on this team. Are there any defensive tackles anywhere?
Let's take a look at the defensive tackle board and see exactly. Let's see.
Yeah. Down just a little, the DIs. Here we go. Derek Harmon. Oh, I'm throwing Pegues. You a bone.
I mean, there's some good ones here. Harmon, Pegues, Simeon Barrow, Shamar Turner was a blue chipper. CJ West is a load of an interior player for Indiana. This guy right here, Darius Alexander from Toledo, is a big-time player. I love the Nebraska combo of Ty Robinson and Hutt Nutmacher. Demonte Capehart from Clemson is real. Thor Griffith from Louisville is real. There's a lot of good players here. Nasir Stackhouse. Here's my man Nash Hutmacher. He's more of a day three guy. Zeke Biggers is just one of the biggest players you've ever seen in your life. I mean, he's just a house. I mean, the guy's a condominium. Jordan Phillips from Maryland's a player. Jay Toya from UCLA is a big time interior guy. So yeah, there's a lot of options there.
Yeah. This is, I think that, again, you're talking value. It's weird that these guys aren't on their big board as most valuable, but Derek Harmon and JJ Pegues, I think, are two of the guys that will not be shocked at all if they go in the second round. Third round is kind of where they should go, but just because they provide this disruptor interior and they play some football. Derek Hartman, 6'5", 310. He's got 1,500-plus snaps in his career. J.J. Pegues, 1,600-plus snaps. Like, both
Pegues,
have
I love. Pegues, I love from the standpoint of Lane Kiffin has used him as a – to me, J.J. Pegues is not just a defensive tackle. I think J.J. Pegues on the Niners could be the reason that they cut Juice. This guy is a excellent short yardage back. He's an incredible goal line back. Lane Kiffin used him on the goal line. I don't think he ever didn't get in. He used him on short yardage. I don't think he ever didn't get a first down. I mean, J.J. Pegues is 3'10", but he's like full speed in like 2.5 steps. He's one of the most unique defensive line athletes. I mean, the guy's a crazy athlete and amazing mover. I think if you have Pegues, he's my short yardage fullback. I'm cutting juice if I draft Pegues, but I probably would lean towards Derek Harmon at this spot over Pegues. Harmon, I believe, led the nation in tackles for loss, I believe.
Yeah, tackles for loss, sacks. He's got more of those. The production is there. I just think that he's too clean a player. I'm going Derek Harmon here based on need and based on I think it's a perfect fit and how much he plays. The experience is there. Niners go after experience, guys. Derek Harmon has that in spades. So does Pegues. But I want the Harmon, the versatility, the 6'5", the big dude.
I love it. I love it. So far, we're getting it done. We got Kelvin Banks, offensive tackle. We have Kyle Kennard, edge rusher, South Carolina. Now we have Derek Harmon, the big interior player from Oregon. All right, now the Niners pick in the third round. This is their second third-round pick. This is pick number 99. I would be interested. I guess, what is this? It shows trades, but we're not going to make trades. Let's take a look at the board. I love Quinshon Judkins. I mean, I loved him at Ole Miss. I just love him. But, I mean, once again, Niners go another third-round running back in a loaded running back draft with other needs. People are going to freak out. But Judkins is a player. I mean, there's no question. I mean, you saw him with 3 touchdowns in that championship game. He doesn't have the deep speed, the long speed that Travion Henderson has. But, man, Judkins is so hard to stop in short yardage. I mean, he's a terrific second, third effort guy. So Donovan Jackson's interesting. He had some injuries. Jurecek started at Stanford, transferred to Georgia. He's interesting. Looking at this, there's some guys here that really are intriguing. And this is where you really got to look at down the board a little bit because, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder here. You know, not everybody has everybody rated the same way.
No.
Okay, well, you know, you got to improve. The number one need, in my opinion, for the 49ers is they have to be better at the point of attack. They have to stop people at the point of attack on defense, and they have to push people on the point of attack on offense. And to me, Jared Wilson right here from Georgia, I'm going to go Jared Wilson. He's a big physical road grading guard. And I was asking Matt Miller, I said, give me an offensive lineman that you've seen this year that you just think is nasty or just really, really difference maker in the run game. I told him, I said, the Niners can't run in the low red zone. They can't get a yard when they absolutely need it. Baldy told me last year that if you don't have a great center, that you don't have a great line. And Jake Brendel is not a great center. Jared Wilson is powerful at the point. I think he's a plug-and-play starter. If you could add Jared Wilson at center and Kelvin Banks at right tackle, I think you've significantly upgraded your offensive line. So I went with the big physical center in Jared Wilson. Really strong. Now, I like other guys. I love Mitchell Evans, but it's a deep tight end draft. I love Antoine Powell Ryland from Vatek. David Walker from Central Arkansas. I loved him. There's a number of players here. Quinn Ewers, I think, is probably good value at this juncture. There's Shamar Turner, I think, is kind of a blue chipper at this point. So there's a lot of good players here. But offensive line, you got to be able to push people around on the goal line. The Niners stopped even trying to run inside the 5. I mean, that tells me that Kyle Shanahan knows that his offensive interior sucks. And obviously, Pooney is a plug-and-play guy. And now you've added Banks. If you could add a big powerhouse center like Jared Wilson. Jake Brendel goes like 285. This guy's more like 315, and he's just strong as a house. So I love me some Jared Wilson. I think that's who I'm going with there in the third round. All right. But you are up next.
This is where it gets kind of like pick your poison.
You're at 111
there's,
now.
There's so many studs there. You start scrolling down and you see all the tight ends. You're seeing some great defensive tackles, and I'm like, man, I wouldn't
Let's
mind
take a
double
look at tight end.
In here. Yeah, there's
yeah,
so
you got
many
Mitchell
guys,
Evans, man. Caden Priestcorn's good. This guy from Clemson, Brianingstool, was a high rated guy. Jackson Hawes transferred from Yale to G Tech.
He is
I love the guy
number two.
Yeah, I love him too. I love Jalen Conyers down here, who started at ASU and transferred to Texas Tech. You know, there's some good tight ends there. Mitchell Evans is, you know, tore the ACL, 2 years ago, but he bounced back this year. His hand-eye coordination is off the charts. But that's
Let's
the tight
back
end
to
spot.
Defensive tackles. Okay, because yeah. If I'm going tight end there, I think Jackson Hawes would be my pick out of Georgia Tech just because he's that perfect number two tight end that fits that Charlie Warner role, physical, all that stuff. But probably my highest rated player, and I think we talked a little bit about him last time, is the defensive tackle from Miami at the top. Simeon, baby. Simeon Barrow Jr., 6'3", 291.
Is that Michael Barrow's kid? Because Michael Barrow played at Miami and was a hell of a player, and this kid isn't built like Michael Barrow, but
I don't think that he is. I haven't found that. We'll you know, see. He was at Michigan State, then he transferred.
Right, he's tough as hell.
He's just freaking awesome. 7 sacks this year, versatility, off the charts experience. He's got 1,800 plus snaps. So again, the Niners keep going back to these experienced
That's a good call.
Line players. I'm going Simeon Barrow Jr. as best player available. And you know, in the past, when they double dip on positions, whether it's Ambry Thomas, Demo, or running backs or whatever, the second guy that they draft is the guy that balls out. So we've already got Derek Hardman, defensive tackle. Why not add another stud? Simeon Barrow Jr., defensive tackle, Miami. Fun player, slasher type, that Kevin Givens, Maurice Hurst, that type of role guy. A big fan of that guy.
Love him. Great. So far, I'm loving this draft. Yeah. I mean, if this draft came down this yeah. way, this is just your meat and potatoes draft. Offense, monster offensive tackle, SEC defensive player of the year in round two, the leader in the nation in tackles for loss, defensive tackle Derek Harmon. In round three, Jared Wilson, just a road grader center in round three, and then Simeon Barrow from the Canes in round four. Yeah, that's a good. That I like the way things are trending here. Okay, so let's take a look at the board. Now, this is where once you get down to this pick, you got to start looking around. You got to really start scouring the thing a little bit. So now we're at pick 137, and we pick back to back here. We have the next two picks. So. Really, we could.
I want to be scouting my guy as you're scouting your guy.
Yeah, exactly. So let's take a look at who on the board. Now, I do like Riley Leonard as a backup, but I like him as like a late day three guy or as an undrafted guy. He doesn't have good enough arm. So no. David Walker, I think, is really, really intriguing, but there's length issues. He's not the longest player. I really kind of like Cody Simon, the Ohio State linebacker. But you know what? This, and I know people are going to have a hard time with this. There's just the Emory Jones right here would be a pretty nice pick. I mean,
he's a shock to me. Some sites have him as like a second round lock.
Oh, he's
and so like he's people are all over on Emory Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's Conyers down here. But the guy that I just love and, you know, nobody wants to draft a back, but once again, the Niners' number one problem is they can't get a yard when they need a yard. And so we changed up the offensive line. But I want this guy right here, Ooh. Kyle Monongi, the running back from Rutgers. I don't know that I've ever seen a running back. I mean, I have to go back to like Barry Sanders, the last time I saw a running back that had this level of contact balance. I mean, this guy cannot be knocked off his feet. You could hit this guy with a truck. And he will bounce off and keep running. He is one of the greatest contact balance runners I've ever seen. He's tremendous kid. 5'9", but like 5'9", like almost 215, 220. And he's big. This guy, he's short, but powerful. And I just love this back. I mean, in a draft of great backs, I love me some Kyle Monongi. So I'm
one
going.
One of my favorite things about him is zero fumbles this year. Zero.
He's
zero.
Tough as nails, man. This guy is super tough, and he won't go down. You know, it's like first effort, second effort. You know, if you want to start getting into, we're going to push the pile, we're going to run it up the middle. You're not Kyle Shanahan, if he had Kyle Monongi and Jared Wilson, will not be passing the ball on second and goal from the four anymore. So I'm going Kyle Monongi. I realize it's a fourth round running back. Boo if you need to, but there it is. You're up next at pick 138.
All right. I'm going tight end. Let's see the tight end. I almost did it last time, but yeah, I'm just at this point, I'm just like, this is a major need. Oh, right there. Let's go back. I see Caden up there. Caden Prescorn. We're going with one of your guys.
I love Caden Prescorn.
He's a good player, and he fits exactly what the 49ers want to do. Whenever you look at just the size, the versatility, he kind of has all of it. He can do those things. He's got 3 years of production, the experience, which, again, we talk about a lot of these players. If they don't have the experience, I don't think the Niners are going to look at him in the first four rounds. I think they kind of the anti-Trey Lance, whatever, but Prescorn, however you say it. 2,200 plus snaps, 6'6", 255. He plays everywhere. He plays out wide. He plays slot. He plays tight end. He plays fullback. Whatever you need him to do, he's going to go do it. Plus 200 plus special team snaps. Love this dude. Experience, I have him as a 9. Versatility, I have him as a 9. And he's not the athlete Kittle is, but he's that number 2 guy that I think you can bank on for a long time.
One drop all year. One. I love that. I love that. All right, so we're at pick 149. We're in the fifth round. But did the Niners not have a fifth round pick? I'm not sure how we're at 149, but either way, we'll just go with it. Let's take a look at linebacker because, you know, they got to have some linebackers here. I like Reed from Utah. I don't see anybody that I totally love there. Let's see. Shamar James. I love
David Abenda.
There he is. He's at rank 246, though, so he's probably going to be there. I love David Benda, and I love Eugene Asante. I love Benda. I love Benda, so I could take Benda here. Let me see what other spots. We got a tight end. You got a running back. Let's take a look at the defensive line again. Once again, it's like, you know, if all you get out of this draft is D-line, O-line, you're going to be okay.
Mad. I would be mad at all.
Let's take a look at edge. I love David Walker. This guy from Cal Poly is actually not bad, Elijah Ponder. But I will not be going Cal Poly. sorry, Kev. I love your brother, but I cannot go Cal Poly. Wait a second. Now we get the edge rush piece out of there. Wait, hold on a second. Now I got two of these. I haven't done a lot on this.
Dude, you're crushing it, man. It's smooth.
Okay, so to me, there is a guy here that is too good to pass up. I think he's probably not going to be here, but I can't pass on this guy. Ty Robinson is a monster. I'll tell you what I see. I see Keith Millard. And I don't know if you remember Keith Millard from Minnesota with Dolman and Millard. But Keith Millard is a Bay Area guy. He lives in Pleasanton. Purple people eaters. Ty Robinson is just a beast. He's 6'6". He's 3'10". He's just a monster. He gets after the quarterback. The motor runs all day. He's just crazy tough. I love Ty Robinson. I got to have Ty Robinson on my team.
I remember in the bowl game, he had like 5 pressures. Like he showed up and just put on a clinic, like just was eating people alive out there.
He's just a beast. I don't know how to describe him, but I mean, the 49ers have to change out their interior. And in this draft, we essentially have. We've added Derek Harmon, Simeon Barrow, and Ty Robinson.
We got 3 defensive tackles, Larry. You can tell what we want. You can tell
Givens,
what we want.
Givens, goodbye. Khalil Davis. I don't know that the Niners have a lot really on the defensive line in the interior. So I have no problem with this. If it goes this way, I'm totally fine with it. You have the 6th round pick 187.
I
what positions?
Look at corners.
Corners. Okay. Yeah.
I want to look at corners.
Let's take a look at the corner position. There it is. So you've got this guy who may or may not stay in the draft. We'll find out here. Igbenosin, who's a tremendous athlete from Ohio State. I like Fentrell Cypress from Florida State. Really underrated player. I think that's an underrated day 3 pick. We're on day 3. But this guy right here, too, Kobe Bryant. I don't know how much you saw of Kansas, but they have this guy Melo and Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant and Melo were really good. So that's the only guys they have listed. There's more corners than this available here. But there's some good ones right there. Is there another position you want to take a look at in addition?
No, I'm very happy with either of these two. Fentrell Cypress, the second out of Florida State, 2,000-plus snaps, huge special teamer. And you look at it, man, you're going to have – you got Tatum Bethune. You got the other rookie corner that played with this guy.
Yeah,
so, like, you're going to have the inside, Renardo. So I'm going Fentrell Cypress. If Kobe Bryant – or comes out and weighs a little bit more. I'm a little bit worried about weight. He's like a 170 guy. But if he can bulk up a little bit for the combine, I might up his stock a little bit. But I'm going Fentrell Cypress, the second corner out of Florida State.
I love it. I love it. That's a good one. That's a good one right there. All right. So now we're at pick 256. This is our final pick. And I'm
looking. We
don't
have a quarterback.
We don't have a quarterback.
And should we be drafting a quarterback? Like, do you think?
See,
we got Tanner Mordecai and we got Brock. That's all we got coming back currently.
Personally, I think this is the year I would go for like a Zach Wilson, a Mac Jones, a Justin Fields. I would go for the reclamation project quarterback in addition to Tanner Mordecai and Brock. And I'm not as convinced on the rookie quarterbacks this year. I don't love this draft. Donovan Smith ain't bad, but none of these guys are any good really. I don't love the quarterbacks. I haven't seen a quarterback. You know who's not bad to me? Who's not a bad quarterback prospect? I thought it was Peyton Thorne for Auburn. He's. I don't see him on this list. Let's take a look at some other positions. Let's see what else. Let's.
We don't have a safety. We don't have a wide receiver. We don't have a linebacker. Still don't have a linebacker.
I don't love the wide receivers. Bo Collins doesn't do it for me from Notre Dame. Got the tight end. And all the good ones are gone there. Let's see. Let's take a look at. We got the running back, but it's a great draft. They only have one guy left. Oh, I guess no. That's it. They have one guy left. See, they're a little on the thin side.
We're at the scrap spot.
Yeah, we're at the scrap spot. Let's take a look back at the offensive line. I do love Marcus Ware from Montana State. I really think Marcus Ware is a good player. I think he's a right tackle at Montana State, but I think he's going to play center in the NFL. So I like him, but let's see who else is out there. Let's take a look at corner again. No, don't like that. Let's take a look at linebacker again. Well, I do. I guess David Benda must be gone, huh?
Yeah, Eugene Asante, 6'1", 220.
Not like him.
Huge special teams guy, 700-plus special team snaps. Just like you could see a pathway for him to make the roster, right?
I love Eugene Asante. He's super strong, very, very productive player. Really, really like him. All right, so we've done our draft. Here it is. It started with Kelvin Banks. And these grades, I really don't care about the grades. A couple of my picks have gotten Fs here. Jared Wilson got an F. If you don't go along to with their rankings, they give you kind of a bad grade. But Kelvin Banks, tackle in round one. You got the SEC Defensive Player of the Year coming off the edge in Kyle Kennard. You got Derek Harmon, probably a plug-and-play defensive tackle starter. Jared Wilson, I think, starts for Brendel right away. Simeon Barrow plays in a rotation. Monongi, I think, gives him another short yardage back. Priestcorn, gigantic tight end who's got sticky hands. Ty Robinson, just another tough guy with a motor at defensive tackle. Fentrell Cypress, athletic corner. Florida State has a lot of premier athletes. He played some really high-end football. And then Asante, who's an undersized linebacker who's got to be, you got to protect his legs. You got to have, but we're doing that here, right? We got Harmon, we got Barrow, we got Robinson, and we got protection up front. And Asante can run and hit. So I like it. I like it. They gave us an overall C+, but I'd take it. I'd take it right now. I mean, that draft would be fantastic as far as I'm concerned. To me, the best pick was getting Derek Harmon at 75.
Yeah, I mean, that's unrealistic,
but you know what? That would be amazing if it happened.
I really wish the 49ers would pay this much attention to the trenches. Like, that's if I could just whisper in Kyle's ear and just say, dude, offense and defensive line, make it the focus. If that happens, I don't care who the players are or where. Just draft offensive and defensive linemen, and I think the 49ers can return to this bully ball depth piece that could just steamroll teams in the playoffs. I think that's where they could be. But
yeah, man, don't invent needs where there aren't needs. I felt like the Niners do this a lot. You know, it's like they have a bunch of needs, and then all of a sudden they're drafting a punter. Oh, they have a bunch of needs, and all of a sudden they're drafting a kicker. You know, it's like go be like everybody else. Get your kicker and your punter afterwards. We went 5 picks in a row on the offense and defensive line. Banks, Kennard, Harmon, Wilson, Barrow, 5 in a row and 6 overall. So we definitely hit the line of scrimmage hard. I agree. You know what we didn't do? We didn't draft any wide receivers. Why? Because it's not a good wide receiver draft. We didn't draft any quarterbacks.
We have 5 guys under, like, you already have vet and young wide receivers on the roster. We only keep 6. I want a veteran, low ball, free agency wide receiver to come in as that number 6 guy, personally.
Like, I'll tell you, I thought my favorite move they've made this since the season. I loved picking up the Breen Christian kid, Hodgins. I think Hodgins is a better possession receiver than Ronnie Bell. Way bigger, better hands, more proven, couple playoff starts. He doesn't run great, but he's a local kid with huge size and ball skills. So you've got some, they need a burner. They need either Tutu Atwell, Rondale Moore, Mecole Hardman. They need that vertical guy because I don't know if you can lean on Cowing, you know, because he's just not strong enough. He kind of showed he needs to get stronger. They could find one kind of vertical threat receiver. Doesn't have to be a star, just a vertical threat, somebody who, you know, make other defenses honor the deep ball a little bit more. I think that's the complementary piece they need at wide receiver. The only thing I would have said that we might have done differently here is maybe if we did make trades, we would have gotten a couple extra picks and we could have gone maybe a second tight end. Because I just think that the Niners are so barren at tight end. I mean, I like Mason Plyne, but I don't like the other guys. I'm not a Saubert guy. I don't like Braden Willis. Didn't like Cam Latu. So it's like, to me, I see a Kittle and I see Plyne, and then I see a lot of open space. Like they could really use a couple tight ends in this draft.
Right. This is fun, man. And do we think we're going to get this many D linemen? Probably not. But God, it shows you how deep that position is in the draft. It shows you the need the 49ers have. And so, yeah, you can plug and play and swap some names out to make it a little more realistic. But man, fun exercise. And this is
good stuff.
This is awesome.
Hey, last thing we'll hit a couple more of these supers and then we'll bolt for the door here after you give me your predictions. I'm not sure. Let's see. Did we get this one? Jason Lutz, bring them all back, Balky 2. And then Moises Rosales' thoughts on a 6-1 ratio Washington or 6-1 Buffalo, Washington Buffalo parlay. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about
that's what the good guys want. That's what everybody wants. Everybody wants Washington and Buffalo. Everybody.
I would say I love Washington tomorrow. But I like Kansas City. Kansas City, I mean, I hear you. I'm rooting for Josh Allen. I think probably, as John just said, we all are kind of rooting for Josh Allen. But how about this? In Kansas City's last 11 playoff games, John, their opponents have been called for nearly double the amount of penalties that the Chiefs have. And Patrick Mahomes, on top of that, 21-1 in his last 22 games with his only loss being to the Buffalo Bills. I don't think the Bills have a good enough defense. I want to pick the Bills. I love Josh Allen. I think they'll be able to score a few points in this game. But I just think that Mahomes and Reed will outdo them. And I don't think this is a vintage Chiefs team, John. I really don't. I think they're limping towards – it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Niners in 90 where they had won in 88, they had won in 89. They were trying to win three in a row, and there was some weakness there. And ultimately, the turnover by Craig cost them the title game, and the Giants went on to beat the Bills and win that Super Bowl. Could have been three in a row for the Niners. That's what Kansas City's going for here. But they're not – like, their receivers just got shut down by Houston. They're leaning tons on Kelce and Mahomes still. They don't have the run game that they used to have. Like, their Pacheco doesn't look anything like the Pacheco from last year. Defensively, they're really good, but they don't have Snead anymore on the back end. They lost Willie Gay, who's a really, really fast linebacker. I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to get by Buffalo because they're at home. They'll probably get calls. They'll probably get an early score somehow. They always seem to. I like Kansas City to prevail, but I like Washington. I think Washington is going to beat Philly, and I'm not even all that concerned about how close it is. I think Washington is going to beat Philly, and at the end we're going to go, wow, Washington's way better than Philly. Philly's 14-1 in their last 15 games. Their only loss was to Washington. I like Washington. I like their backs. I like their receivers. I like their defensive line. I like the way they're taking the ball away. You know, the Commanders, to me, Jaden Daniels, there's no way to speed him up. Spags is going to try, but I like the Commanders on the road. Where are you tomorrow?
The NFC is kind of a coin flip for me. And there's no doubt the NFL really, really wants the Chiefs to have the chance at the three-peat. That's what they want. So I'm going to go Commanders Chiefs as well. I want this, man, could Jaden Daniels be the greatest rookie quarterback ever? Not statistically, but could he do something that, you know, go win it all and whatever else? And I think that could be awesome. The whole Dan Snyder conversation about, you know, as soon as you get rid of the terrible owner, then they go all the way to the Super Bowl. I would love that. So I'm going to go Commanders and Chiefs as well. I'm rooting on Commanders Bills, but I just think, man, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. And I think the greatest coach in this entire weekend is Steve Spagnuolo. I know everybody wants to give Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes their flowers, and they deserve them. Steve Spagnuolo, in my opinion, is the best play caller in the NFL. Offense, defense, head coaches don't give a damn. So I'm going Spags. That dude just somehow, he's magical. And I hope he gets the Saints job. I don't think it's going to happen there, but I really, really wish he would leave Kansas City. So I'm going to go Chiefs, and I'm going to go Commanders.
Yeah, Spags, that's a great call. I totally agree with you. Last one, Ryan Close says, hey, there you go. And Ryan Close drops this one. He says, if you're going with a running back, why wouldn't you add Cam Scatabo from ASU to fix the low red zone and replace Juice? Rye, I would say in this particular mock, we didn't do any trades. I would like to trade a little bit and see if I could pick up two or three extra picks. And Cam Scatabo would be on my list. And I think he'd be a phenomenal replacement for Juice. He's not quite Juice's size, but he's a phenomenal player. I mean, he kept ASU in that game in the playoff for sure. So, yeah, Scatabo's what a warrior that guy is. And if I could find a way to get him on my team come draft day, I would. But in this mock, we just didn't happen. But I like Monongi a whole lot better than Scatabo. But I do love Scatabo as a player, and I'm with you. I'd try to get that extra pick and see if I could get him. John, great stuff. What do you got cooking the rest of your Saturday? You going live anymore today and videos?
No,
anybody you want to shout out sponsor-wise before we pull the ripcord?
Man, I want to say this. Like, during this time, whenever things are feeling positive, like, enjoy this. And, like, yeah, we're going to be watching teams that aren't the 49ers play, but just be a fan and just enjoy the fact that the Niners are rebounding and the Niners are doing what this offseason could not have gone better. So far, maybe you got the Brock Purdy extension done or, you know, Drake Greenlaw done or whatever else, but things are good. Yeah, we're not where we want to be, but man, I just want to say, like, if you can't be excited about the future of the 49ers right now, just kind of take a step back and just like, why am I not enjoying this? Because you should be excited right now. The arrow's pointing up, Larry, and I'm just psyched to be here and talking with you, Niners. This is awesome. Appreciate you inviting me on the show. And this offseason, this draft, this process, this free agency, man, I'm hoping we're going to look back on this year and just be like, man, that's when things started to click for the Niners. I'm really excited, Larry, moving forward. I really, really am.
No question. It's like anything else. If you have a good draft, that's great. And if you can put good picks together, you do great. If you can put good drafts together, you do great. The Niners had a really good 24 draft. If they can put together a really good 25 draft, back-to-back good drafts or back-to-back volume drafts, that could go a great distance to putting them, vaulting them back into the area where we want to see them, which is, you know, in contention for that sixth Lombardi. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to our good friends at Better. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle. Thanks to Sharp Corners, Sports Cards and Collectibles. John, feel free to shout out anybody you'd like on the way out the door that supports your channel.
Yeah, just want to say, you know, most of our support comes from our own Patreon channel and the 49ersrush.com. That's how I feed the family, all those things. So if you want to check that out, we got a Zoom hangout this Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Where I get to hear from you guys. Just head over to the 49ersrush.com. You can check that out. And that's kind of where we do most of our business over there. So appreciate everybody that supports the channel and all that stuff. And Larry, you're the best, man.
Thanks, John. Have a great Saturday, everybody. Don't forget, I'll be at Pig in a Pickle in Corte Madera from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. tomorrow on Championship Sunday for a little meet, M-E-A-T, and greet. And we'll have a little barbecue, maybe a couple beers, and watch some NFC Championship game. And feel free to stop by and have some barbecue and say hello and support the channel. We'd love to see you over there at Pig in a Pickle, not the one in Emeryville, but the one in Corte Madera at Marin County. For John, I'm Larry. Have a great Saturday, everybody. Peace.
Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful, you won't get exactly what you asked.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.